Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John. I'm bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Lord George Bennett's town that he founded with his favorite garden shrub, which then proceeded about 65 years later to utterly and totally destroy his city in a fiery cataclysm. This story was first published on November 21, 2010, under the headline, Town Destroyed by Its Founder's Favorite Garden Shrub. Here we go. When Lord George Bennett founded the little town of Bandon on the very western rim of Oregon in 1873, he must have been pining for his native Ireland. It was from Ireland that Bennett imported both the name of his new hometown and an ornamental shrub that would one day destroy it. The shrub is called gorse. If you've driven much along the Oregon coast, you'll have noticed it. It's increasingly dominant as you approach Bandon from the north or south, displacing the native salal plants with their waxy dark green leaves and bland-tasting purple berries. It's usually in the form of a chest-high gray-green mass, sometimes sprinkled with little yellow flowers like those of Scotch broom. Its leaves are protected by a tangle of low-grade prickles like those on a thistle, but not quite as prickly. But it's not for those prickles that the stuff is feared in Oregon. It's for its love of fire. Gorse is a plant that's made to burn. It's happiest in an environment that burns fiercely every few decades. When a good hot fire sweeps a hillside clean, gorse's specialty is being the first green thing to return to the scene. Its charred-off roots start sprouting new growth as soon as things are cool again, and its seed pods lying on the ground are cracked open by the fire and soon get busy sprouting. To encourage these periodic fires and to help them get hot enough to kill competing plants, gorse secretes oils in its leaves that burn like diesel fuel. Sometimes in hot weather, oil actually drips from them. In other words, gorse is a phoenix plant that yearns for its own destruction so that it can rise from the ashes and take right over. Which appears to have been its plan, if a plant can be said to have a plan, on September 26, 1936. In the 63 years that had passed since Bennett brought gorse to Bandon, the stuff had spread everywhere. Gorse seemed to really like Bandon. Gorse hedges and thickets were all over town, and vacant lots were stuffed with it, 4 feet high and too thick to walk through. On this particular day, a couple slash burns from nearby logging operations had gotten out of control, and a small forest fire ensued. Although the day was uncommonly dry and warm, the fire probably would not have been that big a deal. It might have claimed a house or two on the edge of town, but Bandon had, as was about to become clear, a crack fire department. It should have been okay. But once that forest fire got into the gorse thickets at the edge of town, there was no stopping it. Writer Stuart Holbrook, who happened to be on the scene when it happened, describes how this worked. Quote, "A stray spark would fall into a green clump of gorse near a house. An instant later, the gorse was flaming higher than the house. In another instant, the house was wholly on fire. Time and again it happened." The firefighters found that large patches of burning gorse behaved differently than did the smaller fires they were used to. Squirting water on it was like throwing water on a grease fire in the kitchen. All it did was spread flaming, oily globs everywhere. Many of the townspeople were at first reluctant to leave. They were having trouble believing that they were in real danger. When the fire came over the hill and started advancing on them, though, they jammed themselves into the streets and headed for the beach. The Coast Guard ferried hundreds across the Coquille River to the dunes on the other side. The firefighters covered their retreat until the tires of the fire truck melted, effectively immobilizing it, and at that point they too fled to the beach, where townspeople with their backs to the sea knelt behind driftwood logs, charred and smoking from the heat, heaping sand over them in an effort to keep them from bursting into flames. In the end, 10 people died, several of them in the act of trying to retrieve treasured objects from their homes. Out of the 500 buildings and homes in Bandon, just 16 remained in salvageable condition. It is thought that this cataclysmic destruction of an entire Oregon town by a wildfire during the fire season inspired the Japanese to launch their balloon bombs in an attempt to light the western part of Oregon on fire during World War II. Unfortunately for the Japanese, the gorse was mostly restricted to Bandon, and none of their balloon bombs fell in it. However, there is some reason to suspect that their balloon bomb program may have touched off the Tillamook burn of 1945. Today, Bandon has rebuilt itself, and enough years have passed since 1936 for the town to have reacquired an old seaside town charm. The majority of the visitors strolling through during the summer season have no idea they're walking on land that their grandparents would have experienced as a charred wasteland. And yes, there's still gorse in Bandon, although city code now includes strict regulations on it. It's simply become too common to eradicate. But most Bandon residents will never look at it the same way again, and they'll never quite feel the same way about their founder, Bennett, who gave the town life and nearly brought it death. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. About 175, 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and a Facebook page and the Twitter feed links as well if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. I've even got a link up to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which came out just last month. The website is also where you'll find the full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's episode included Stuart Holbrook, Bob Howard, and the Oregon Department of Forestry, along with the OHS.org and the City of Bandon's website. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at OffbeatOregon. Well, that's it for today, so thanks for listening, and have a great day.